Let's talk border security for just a second before I start the show. This is not only getting out of hand, it was stupid to begin with. This is a Trump tantrum, and nothing more, and nothing less. Our country is becoming less safe because of his tantrum. TSA agents, those people that check you into the airport and the security checks, which are apparently quite important, those people have been calling in sick because they're not getting paid to do their job. Government employees are starting to look for other jobs because they can't trust the government to pay them for something that they're doing. They're calling in sick. Personnel, security personnel at airports, dwindling. As you probably know, terrorists and people that wish to do harm within the masses look for little openings like this to perform their dirty deeds. This is not a good thing. Miami Airport is shutting down a terminal because of not high staffing anymore. So they may shut down a terminal. As a matter of fact, those are in the works right now, and move other planes to other terminals because of a lack of security and airport staff funded by the government but not being paid, calling in sick. This is getting pretty serious, kids. This president is using people as pawns to perform a political tantrum because the man refuses to lose. Let me take you back to December 18th, 2018, not even 2 months ago. And at that point, it was a little less than a month ago. At that point, the Republicans and the Democrats agreed on a deal to keep the government open. The deal was that about $1.5 billion would be appropriated and approved toward strengthening the border, adding smart technology, adding more personnel, making sure it was more secure than ever, even though it is more secure than ever. They conceded to $1.5 billion, but no new wall structures. Just fix, maintain, and strengthen what's already there. The Republicans and the Democrats agreed upon that. Part of that was also to discuss the wall at a future time, but to keep the government open and give $1.5 billion to the administration to strengthen, repair, and improve what they already have, border-wise. Both parties agreed. Fantastic. No shutdown. Trump indicates that, okay, for now, whatever. When the conservative media, such as Rush Limbaugh and Steve Doocy on Fox and Friends, and other conservative talk show hosts, started pounding Trump that night of December 18th, saying, well, you're gonna agree to that deal? That's a pussy deal. Stand up for yourself. Don't budge. Trump hears this because he watches conservative Fox News all the time. And the next day, December 19th, he declares that he will not accept that deal, even though the Senate and the House have already agreed on it. Trump says, no, I don't care. Let's shut down the government. I want my wall, or I shut it down, and I'll take responsibility. So you see, kids, this could have been resolved a long time ago. As far as Congress was concerned, it was resolved. The Republicans and Democrats got together and thought that they had avoided the shutdown. And Trump, in his temper tantrum, says, no, I want $5 billion for the wall, or I'm shutting down the government, and I'm going to take responsibility. I want to make sure that you know that Congress, Republicans and Democrats, work together and on December 18th, had this all figured out, there would have been no shutdown. And the border would have been even more secure than it is, which is tremendously secure right now anyway. Just wanted you to know that.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Thank you.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
It's true.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. I'm not kidding. I am. Thanks for clicking. There was a time in my career when I would thank people for listening, which I can still do, but now I also have to thank you for clicking. Thank you for clicking. The hell is that? What the hell does that mean? That doesn't sound good. Anyway, I'm most appreciative of your time. I know you have other things to do. Actually, you don't, to be honest with you. You have nothing else to do. Thank you very much. Thanks for being here. Thank you. Thank you. No, you're too kind. Thank you. All right. Anyway, so... thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. That's an example of how I can waste your time. Hey, you know, I'm just floored. I don't know what to say anymore. I just don't. I still to this day, I wake up in the morning and I rub my eyes and I say to myself, thank God that horrible nightmare about Trump being president never really happened. And then I realize, oh my God, that wasn't a nightmare. It actually did happen. And you know what? I don't blame Donald Trump one iota. I don't. I don't even know what iota means. I don't blame him. He's an asshole that just happens to exist, and we picked up on him. That's all. That's all it is. I blame two people, or two factions, I should say. I blame Hillary Clinton. Hillary did not do a good job of campaigning. She thought she had it in her bag, so to speak, but didn't. Her little email thing, stupid. It was a stupid thing on her part. Her husband, Bill Clinton, a brilliant man, but a sex addict and caused a whole lot of problems. The Clinton name, certainly a downfall of any Republican. They would rather vote for a piece of crap than to vote for Hillary Clinton in any kind of election in any way, shape, or form. So that was a problem. That was a problem. The Democrats didn't put anything up there. The other problem were the people that believe the con man. Those Americans that apparently were pissed off at relatively nothing and decided to vote for a total unknown who was a multi-billionaire who never did anything in his life except for take money from his father and go bankrupt 3 to 4 times in his career. The man is unintelligent, uninformed, misogynistic, has had numerous affairs himself, and is just a rotten human being. But at the same time, conservatives said, well, at least we can get some conservative stuff done. So it's better than nothing. Well, I don't think that worked out too well. So we are where we are, and I do wake up in the morning rubbing my eyes in disbelief. Also, I have allergies and my eyes itch, but I think it's more that than anything, but it's not as dramatic, so I say it's Trump. I blame everything on Trump. When I eat too much cheese and I get constipated and I can't go to the bathroom, I blame Trump. I don't know what connection he had to it, other than the fact that they're both feces. Other than that, there's no connection. I just blame him for everything. If I'm trying to get somewhere and there's a car in front of me going below the speed limit, you know how annoying that can be. They're not even going the speed limit, much less a little bit over it. They're driving like that's not even driving. That is not even driving. It's just the car just moving forward by inertia. And you feel like honking your horn. You can't pass the car because it's a skinny lane. You can't do it. And you start cursing and going crazy and saying to yourself, oh, come on, move that car. I also blame Trump for that. Now, Trump had nothing to do with it, but he's the president, so you got to take responsibility for everything. I had an argument with a person yesterday about something totally unrelated to politics. And we were arguing, and I said, damn, Trump. And the person said to me, what are you blaming Trump for? I said, that's not the point. Because he's responsible for everything now. He's the man who's responsible for everything but doesn't take any responsibility for anything. When he went into this self-induced government shutdown, as I explained at the top of the show, this didn't have to happen. This is all Trump. He actually said to us on camera that he will take full responsibility for everything that happens during the shutdown. He will cause a shutdown. He'll happily do it. And I don't care if people don't get paid. I don't care if people can't. Government employees can't pay their bills. I don't even care. They're all behind me anyway. They would rather not get paid. Donald, who did you speak to? What do you mean they would rather not get paid? What are you talking about? He took full responsibility for this. And then within a few days, as soon as people started bitching about the government shutdown, he said, this is the Democrats' fault. No, it's not, man. You said it. You said something else. Donald Trump makes Pinocchio look like a saint. If Donald Trump's nose grew every time he told a lie, the man would not be able to fit on the planet. Laterally. Literally and laterally. Donald, did you make payments to Stormy Daniels in order to hush her up? Were payments made to her at all? No, I don't know. I asked my attorney. I don't know anything about it. I had nothing to do with it. And then a tape comes out months later with Donald Trump and Michael Cohen sitting in the room, and we hear on the tape Donald saying, "Oh no, don't pay her by check. Yes, we must pay her off, but not by that method, Michael." It's like, what? You said you had nothing. You knew nothing about this, and there you are, a tape of you in the room. Talking about this payment. I mean, like, what? You lied to me. You freaking lied to me. And I know that in your private life, I know this for a fact, I know that in your private life, you have morals. And if you find out somebody lied to you to your face, you would be pissed. You would say, I cannot trust you anymore. I don't want to talk to you. You lie to me all the time about your affairs and about things that don't exist. You lie. And you would be very angry at that person, and you may not even talk to that person again ever. Well, here's your president, man, who's lying to your face on a daily basis, is a habitual liar, and never admits to lying. But you know, because you see it. And yet you just say, eh, whatever. Whatever? What are you talking about? If just a small, minute amount of the things that Donald Trump does, if this happened to you in your personal life and somebody did this to you, you would be livid. So I don't understand you. So that's my thing. The Democrats put up a bad candidate in Hillary Clinton. I blame them, and I blame those of you that voted for Donald Trump to begin with. You fell for the con game. You're a weak person that can be influenced by anything. Or for personal gain, and that was a joke too, because you ain't personal gaining anything. I don't. You know, in England, they have something called a vote of no confidence. When the Prime Minister of England does a shitty job, the Parliament, the various forms of the Parliament, can call for a vote of no confidence and actually kick out the Prime Minister because nobody likes the Prime Minister anymore. They think he's doing a shitty job. You know, we broke away from England way back to form this country. And it seems to me that we kind of like did the best we could with what we had. I like this vote of no confidence thing, especially right now. Can that be dangerous to have that all the time? It could be. I don't know. I think somebody needs to sit down with our Constitution and kind of figure out the following. This is not 1776 anymore. We've evolved into something that's totally different than that. So we need our set of rules to be a little more up to date, let's say, and stop depending on our foundation being almost 300 years old here. I mean, it's just like it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work anymore like that. Come on, man. I mean, if I'm to follow the Bible literally, if you commit adultery, you have to be murdered, both the person that you had the adultery with and you. So, Ron, I don't know if that's the way we handle adultery these days. Yeah, I know. But nobody changed that thing. Nobody changed the Bible. Nobody went into it and scratched that out and said, forget that part. I don't know. I don't get it. Thanks for letting me talk for such an extended period of time, by the way. I hope you're having something to eat during this time period, because otherwise this is a very dry time. And I'm sure you have things to say as well. Anyway, thanks for being here. By the way, happy birthday. I have no idea when your birthday is at all. I don't know who you are. You could be some guy sitting in a bunker in Nebraska. I don't know who you are. Thanks for listening, by the way. And happy birthday. I don't know when your birthday is. I'm a Scorpio, by the way, just so you know. And if that makes a difference to you or is indicative of anything, then I'm afraid we disagree on this subject matter. I don't understand how you can group somebody into a set of personality traits based on the month that they were born in. And everybody born in that month, everybody across the world that was born in that month has the same personality traits. Well, Ron, they really do. Well, then you really don't get it, do you? Because I know other Scorpios and they're nothing like me whatsoever. Unless you search for the similarities, then you can say that. How about searching for the differences? Then you can't say that. I think that astrology thing is kind of like an excuse. I had a friend, a female friend, and I don't know what difference it makes, but it was a female friend. And every once in a while when I would bump into her, we'd say hello. And she'd say, did you read your horoscope today? And I said, no, I don't. I told you I don't do that. She says, can I look at your phone? I want to look at my horoscope. I didn't look at my horoscope today. Oh my God, this is how you live? You're having a panic attack because you didn't look up your horoscope? And whenever you see me, it reminds you to look at my phone, to look at the horoscope? Why? What are you talking about? And she reads it and she says, oh, okay, this makes sense. How can that make sense to you? How can that possibly make sense to you? You're reading this thing and you're connecting something that is somewhat like is going on into what they're describing, and then you give it total validity. How about all the stuff that isn't going on that these people are saying in the horoscope thing? How about that? You dismiss that, don't you? It's like a Trump supporter. Well, I like what he does as far as the Kavanaugh thing and putting conservatives on the Supreme Court. What about all the other stuff? I don't want to talk about it. What do you mean you don't want to talk about it? I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about the stuff that I disagree with. I only want to talk about stuff that I agree with. All right. Somebody's in the delusional camp then. Camp delusional. That should be a separate place where all of you go who are delusional. You can do boating and volleyball and swimming all together in your delusional camp. Camp delusional. It's a summer camp for delusional people. Camp delusional. Why not? What the hell's the difference?
Ron Van Dam is different than most podcast hosts. He really understands his audience.
They like to be smacked and whipped.
Well, I think we're going to get along just fine. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
I guess so. I guess you are. Most of us are smack dab in the middle of winter. I don't understand weather forecasters. I would really, about 10 years ago, maybe 12, maybe 15 years ago, maybe it was 10 or something like that. I live in the Northeast. I live in the Boston area, and there was literally no snow whatsoever. Temperatures never got too cold. There wasn't a large amount of snow, maybe for the entire season, maybe 8 inches to a foot of snow. It basically didn't snow. There was basically no winter in the Northeast. And this was because of El Nino or El Niño. I don't know. There's warm air current that kept us warm in the Northeast. And when it was over, I said to myself, and I said on the air, I said, if only we knew that it wasn't going to snow this winter at all, things would have been so different. Could have planned so many nice trips and done some work around the house, and you know. But no, I kept expecting it to snow. And you meteorologists, you never told me that this was going to be warm. I blame them, just like I blame Hillary Clinton. I blame them. I would love to be a meteorologist. I would. You predict the weather, and when you're wrong, you simply say, well, I guess we got that wrong, huh? That's it. That's all you have to say. Well, I guess we got that wrong, Bob. They make a joke out of it. Yeah, so you're going to get 7 feet of snow tomorrow. It's going to be a horrendous storm. Next day comes, it doesn't snow at all. You watch the weather, and they say, well, I guess we got that one wrong, Bob. That's what, I guess you did. You know, the weather is tricky. Of course. When you forecast a storm and it's exactly the way you forecasted it, it's a science. When you misforecast it and you're completely wrong, well, you know, it's difficult to predict. The weather is very difficult to predict. When you're full of crap. You are just so full of crap. It's unbelievable. And I don't know. New England Broadcasting.
Hi, may I speak to Ron, please?
Yes, you can. It's me.
Ah, hi, Ron. How are you?
I'm
this is
good.
Pamela, and I have Sarah Harrison-Smith for you this morning, talking about Best Books 2017.
All right, I got it. I thought she said Best Boobs, and... but she said Best Books of 2017. I thought it was Best Boobs because of her accent. See, that's where accents are fun. They are. They just are. I mean, as far as immigration is concerned, I love it. I was brought up in the New York City area, and I lived amongst cultures, thousands of cultures, and it was wonderful, and I would not have it any other way. It made me smarter and more accepting and more international and more cultured. It's fantastic. Fantastic. Open up those borders. Let the good people in. As far as I'm concerned, they get jobs. They add to the economy. They add to our strength, our understanding. Let them in. Make them citizens. The bad ones, keep them out. That's why we need borders, and we need border patrol and that kind of thing. But But it's only to keep the bad ones out, not to keep them all out. Anyway, but I do have, I love it when I go into places and I can't totally understand them. I feel like I'm traveling. It's fantastic. I'm serious. I'm not making a joke. I really love it. And had it not been for that person's accent, that would not have been a moment in my life. But I did think she said, your interview is ready for the best boobs of 2017. And that's so precious. And that's why I'm for immigration. Oddly enough, I'm also for irrigation. I think that dry areas should be moist. So I'm into irrigation too. Yeah, I'm just, yeah, it's not a misunderstanding. I'm into all of that stuff. I'm into other things too that I can't talk about here.
As a special surprise, thank you. Everyone listening to the Ron Van Dam Show today will receive a free photograph of Ron holding a ferret. Yeah, we don't know why he's holding a ferret either. But he's the boss. So there's the ferret. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
I'm not that up on technology, to be honest with you, because I'm not part of that generation. I had to get into it after the case, you know. Yeah, I was brought up when there were things called telephones, and they were actually had a cord on them. They actually were connected to the wall and stuff. And yeah, I know that was like centuries ago. I realized that. So I had to like kind of meld into this technology stuff. But I think it's incredible. I think having a smart wall and a technological border wall is probably the best way to go. I think technology is fantastic. But there are some people that get actually excited by technology, actually get orgasms. I don't get an orgasm with technology unless it's, you know what I'm saying? But I usually don't. But there are people that do. So today, we're going to go to, where is it? We're going to Vegas? We're going to Vegas. To a technology convention. Let's see if we can hook up here.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, how you doing today?
I can't complain about yourself.
I can complain, but that's not the reason we're here.
Don't worry.
Scott Steinberg joins us. He's a trends expert and CEO of Tech Savvy Global. And you are at the CES 2019 high tech event here.
Tons of cool cooking, big announcements coming out of the show on the tech and gadgets front. So, yeah, getting a front row seat to all the latest and greatest.
So you're there right now, huh?
That's the rumor, and I got to tell you, man, it's amazing. Over 180,000 people in town.
Oh, my.
Something like 4,000 exhibitors here to check out the future of technology on every level. And the great part is it's filtering down into every aspect of our lives that you can imagine.
Yeah, which could be good, could be weird. Now, you're an expert in this field. Are there things that are even knocking you off your feet?
Well, yeah, there's absolutely stuff that's very, very cool. So, for example, here's a practical everyday one. IBM actually was a surprise appearance here. They revealed that they've got a new global weather forecasting system that's coming up that will deliver super accurate, high precision local weather results forecasts in just about every place on the planet. So if you've got the Weather Channel app, you can grab them on the go. And it's only possible, what blows my mind, is they're doing it by pulling data from smartphones, even planes in flight, and it's all talking to one another.
Wow. How are some of these apps making money? I mean, a lot of it's free and introductory. I guess to get some of these advanced features, you have to actually buy into the app.
Well, I guess they've got all sorts of advanced features, like you were talking about, premium placements and stuff. But the nice part is a lot of it is still accessible free to everybody.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, if you want to cheers to that, there's other cool announcements, too. Have you checked out LG's Homebrew yet?
No, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I am talking about the world's first capsule-based craft beer maker. Pretty cool. So if you're into home brewing, if you're into craft beer, it literally almost with the press of a button will walk you through the entire home brewing process from fermenting and aging to serving and even cleaning the machine. So like five different types of beer. Really, really cool device.
Okay. They do know they sell beer in stores, don't they?
You get a constant supply right at home, freshly brewed.
That's
other new tech advancements, I mean, so this is cool. Creative really blew out Super X-Fi headphone holography technology. Kind of a mouthful, but what it means is a game changer. What it means is that in a range of headphones and other devices, they've simulated the experience of listening to a surround sound speaker system.
Oh.
So basically, they scan your head and ears, and they give you the most natural sounding music or movies or games as possible. It really is going to change the way that people listen to headphones going
forward. So it's a 360 experience.
It's basically like a 360 experience. I didn't even feel like the music was being beamed into my ear. It felt like it was in the environment around me.
Wow.
I thought when I tested out that it was coming from a speaker system nearby. Nope, coming from the headphones themselves.
Wow. What about visual technology?
Well, of course, you're seeing all sorts of improvements with regard to AI in that aspect. So, for example, here they've actually got pet feeders that will scan the faces of pets. So if you've got multiple dogs or cats or whatever, it'll feed them each accordingly. And we're also seeing advancements in terms of health and fitness. So Sleep Score Labs, actually, they've got the world's most accurate sleep app, and it now uses sonar technology to measure the quality and quantity of sleep you get.
Yeah.
And in about a week of using it, you can get expert tips on how to get more rest or set sleep goals, and also get recommendations on products that you can pick up from their store that can help you get more Z's as well.
Wow. Now, is this an international or a national deal?
Well, in terms of what you got here at CES, it draws people from all around the world. A lot of these technologies, some of them are on worldwide rollout, some of them are territory by territory or country by country. But what's nice is stuff like the Sleep Score Labs app or Creative Super X-Fi technology, you can get that right here, right now, today.
Oh, okay. Because at most exhibition conventions, there are these incredible things like cars and things like that, but you don't see them on the road, and they're kind of not even available. Are a good percentage of these items actually available now?
So a good percentage are available now, yes, and a good percentage will be coming very soon.
Mm.
They're not trying to look 5 years out or 10 years out unless they're really trying to raise publicity for some sort of trend. Most of the time, what you see is going to be coming in the fairly near future.
Mm. What do you think the most popular thing will be?
Well, I think what everybody's talking about are two things. There is an Alexa voice control-enabled smart toilet. Big question mark there, yeah, believe it or not. And then actually we see a company that has a fresh bread making vending machine. So they're cooking and making the bread on demand via an actual machine, no humans involved.
I guess, okay. What about, so Alexa, would you actually say Alexa flush?
I don't even want to know.
All right,
I'm going to say, they talk about personalized cleaning, and that's where I draw the line.
Yeah.
Right. Talk to my toilet, that's the end of it.
I talk to my
toilet. But no, you can call it music or sports scores on demand. I can't.
I see. And it comes out of the bowl, I assume.
Yeah, well, who knows how it resonates. Hopefully that's all that comes out of the bowl.
That's like your 360 surround thing. Okay.
That's right.
Tantalize me with something else that you find fascinating there.
Well, I also think we've got some big advancements in 5G technology, so super hyperspeed in terms of internet connections. That'll be arriving slowly over the next year or two, and it means that your cell phones, your tablets, your computers, if you're using these wireless connections, are going to be near instantaneous, and it means we're going to get a lot more cool and advanced apps coming out as well. And, of course, gaming, like I was saying, you're going to see all sorts of advancements there, too, in terms of chairs, in terms of controllers, like all sorts of accessories that you can use to have a more immersive experience.
Now tell me about TechSavvy Global.
So we're a consulting and research firm. We take a look at what's coming new or next in the technology and apps and mobile industries, and we're always trying to figure out where people are going, what's happening, and if you want to build a product or service around it, what you need to do to stay competitive.
Wow, interesting. So where do we go for more information to find out what's happening there at the show, what things are feasible, and what TechSavvy is saying?
Sure, you can go to www.betterstuffforlife.com to get the full scoop.
Perfect. Hey, good talking to you. Have you had any hot dogs there?
Not yet. It's Vegas, man. We can step it up. We don't have to settle for hot dogs. We got tacos.
Taco. Ooh. AI tacos, they actually make themselves and put them in your mouth.
That's right. That'd be helpful, right?
That'd be nice. Hey, thanks a lot. Pleasure speaking to you, Scott.
Okay. Thanks again, Ron. Take care now.
Take care. Bye-bye. Scott. Thank you so much for your indulgence today. I hope you had a good time. I really do. I don't really care, to be honest with you. I don't care. It'd be nice if you had a good time, but even if you didn't, it's all right. You didn't pay for this. I paid for it. I got paid, but you didn't have to pay me. So it kind of works out all over the place, which is why you should join me again. The next time, the next weekday that rolls around, we'll have a new show for you. Will you be here? Raise your hand. Make a promise to me. I promise that I will be here the next time. I'll be here next time you do a show. Thank you. All right. Now you're stuck. I wish you peace. Did you have a good time today?
It was unbelievably painful.